There you go.
Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, somebody's live.
Okay, we are live, ladies and gentlemen. How you doing? This is David Murphy, publisher of the National Black Unity News. I want to welcome everybody to our simulcast, because we are live on Facebook right now. We are live on Blog Talk Radio. And, of course, we're on the Zoom presentation. And so, welcome to everybody on the different formats. And also want to welcome those who already has joined us in our panels. That's Mr. Melvin Henson, Trudy Williams, Brother Satavi Jahi, Rico Crawley, Bernard Streeter, and an abbreviation of HLH. And welcome to the call, and I'm quite sure some other people will be joining us as we move forward. But, you know, normally and traditionally, before we start our podcast, we like to start off on the good foot, as some of the old folks say. And I'm going to bring in my brother, co-host, soldier, battle-tested brother, Satavi Jahi. Brother Jahi, you got it, sir.
All right. Thank you, David. And I want to thank all of those listeners on Blog Talk Radio, especially the last two broadcasts that we did. We had combined total of combined total of 75 people that have listened to this. So you never know who's listening. And I'm just glad there's a way to track that on Blog Talk. As we do every time we come on these airways, we do a reading from Daily Motivations for African American Success by Mr. Dennis Kimbrough. I was also the author of Think and Grow Rich, Black Choice, the manuscript for getting our families out of the curse of poverty. And I suggest that everyone read that book. It's an awesome book. You know, once you start reading it, you won't be able to put it down. So, reading for the night. News you can use. Like you, I'm still a work in progress. The next step beyond failure could be my biggest success. That's from Debbie Allen, singer, dancer, and TV producer. Reading for the night. Tennis great Althea Gibson remarked, quote, "You must first be a believer before you can be an achiever," unquote. In other words, believing is everything. Believing you can't keeps you blind to the possibilities of discovering how you can. A parable illustrates this point. A man was unsuccessful in business. This is a palm reader, reported to have supernatural powers. She gave him a magic box and told him if he wrote down on a piece of paper what he wanted to achieve and deposited it in the box, his goal would come to pass. He followed her instructions, and shortly thereafter formed a partnership to start a new business. It was immensely successful. A year later, he went back to the palm reader to thank her for her magic box. She revealed, quote, "There's no magic in the box. The magic is in believing. The word that could determine your success in life has only three letters, C-A-N, can. Can is one of the most powerful words in the English language. Ironically, in addition to that letter, T to that word spells the difference between success and failure. Throughout history, achievements have been made in spite of the word can't. 100 years ago, you would never have thought that a black man could be president of the United States, Barack Obama, or that a black man could lead the most powerful army in the world, Colin Powell, or that a black woman would travel into space, Dr. Mae Jemison, or that a black man would orchestrate a successful presidential campaign for white Southern governor, Ron Brown. Turn a deaf ear to any news of limitation. Turn instead to the positive, to what's possible. This will be news that you can certainly use. Believe in yourself, even when no one else does. And, you know, the belief is so powerful. You know, people have mentioned something about the Wizard of Oz. And, you know, the whole thing in that movie, the thing was for her to believe. And they had good witches and bad witches. And, you know, she got with the good witch, Glinda, and she was able to defeat the bad witch, that she found out that the wizard really wasn't a wizard. Just was a man with a lot of knowledge and had stuff that could give people. And that's sort of what we do here on the show. We give out knowledge. And some people get it, some people don't. I get some comments from people on the Blog Talk or radio broadcasters that I post on Blog Talk Radio. And most of them are really good. Now and then you get one that's not so good. But people basically seem to be enjoying the podcast that we do. And so, you know, we're going to keep moving forward. And we just want to thank all of those that are on the podcast tonight. Or if you listen to it on Blog Talk Radio, Facebook Live, or on the actual Zoom call. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. Amen.
All right. Thank you, my brother. You know, Rev, during this time of the year, this is what I call this time of the year, this is the time where I get real busy, you know, laying out the format for the National Black Unity News newspaper. And in the past, you know, I always believed, but, you know, I always try to help carry the load, you know, like a lot of us do. You know, we say we want to trust God. You know, we have faith and stuff, but yet we worry and we try to carry that whole load in spite of your faith and everything. And, you know, And most of you who've been around, which I can see a lot of you have, you know, that stress, that weary, you know, it can kill you. It causes all kinds of havoc on your body. You'd be surprised how powerful that mindset is. You know, that's why some people can will themselves to live or to heal themselves. And some people let go and they have all types of diseases over whatever's going to overcome them sometimes. That's the power of mind. And, you know, you have heard of stories of people had that thing we call fight or flight, how the adrenaline in your body can make you do things that you don't think you're capable of. And and I also believe that we operate in different spheres, operate on different principles. Like I always say, there's God's principle, then there's, you know, natural principles, and then there's man's principle. But, you know, in this life, we have to operate pretty much in all three. And you render to Caesar what is Caesar. But, you know, the topic of, you know, this, I do this out here, help me to help you so that we can help ourselves. And, you know, during this time, as I mentioned earlier, you know, when it's time to do the newspaper, if anybody who's been in the printing businesses, you know, everything's supposed to be done yesterday. And it's all the way down to the last minute, the last letter, the last page, at the last minute, the bottom of the night, two outs, full count. And that's the way it normally is. But, you know, over the last year or so, to understand, to understand, let go and let God sometimes. You know, because no matter what, how much I stress out or how much I be anxious, the publication has already came out. And this time, you know, and it always take me to the limit. Sometimes, like this is a strange month for me because a lot of things have taken place. For those of you who don't know, the Universal Soul Circle's in town, and they made me for one day the honorary ringmaster. But, you know, they gave me quite a few tickets, so during my most busiest time, I end up becoming what you call a ticket master, getting rid of tickets, you know, you know, making arrangements for this thing, and it sidetracked me. And then one guy who I was giving tickets to, because the owner of the circus gave me tickets, and said he wanted to invite some people he grew up with, some people in the National Black Unity News, because there was the National Black Unity News night at the circus. And then there was my family, they gave me about 100 tickets. And, you know, I got 99-something, Baltimore alone, over 90-something family members. So I had to try to figure out who get what, how many, and this, that. And it was a difficult task because I had to let some people down and this, that. But nevertheless, I appreciated what my brother did for me because, you know, a lot of people did get to go to the circus. And for a few brief moments, they truly enjoy themselves, because that's a unique circus. It's interactive. You just don't sit back, you know, laugh, and, you know, just really enjoy yourself. And I appreciate my brother, Cedric Walker, for, you know, doing that for me and for us, and for doing it for people all over the world, because this brother put in so much. And I told y'all this story that during the pandemic, he had to keep that circus together. He housed them, he fed them, and he even paid them during the whole entire pandemic, because if they'd have went, because these people come from all over the world, if they had went home, he pretty much would have lost his circus. And not only had to keep the animals too. And so, you know, he had to dig deep, wide, and he had to do whatever he had to do to keep the circus. And he didn't do it by himself. He had other people working with him on that. And then when I was giving out the tickets, you know, and we grew up on the same block, and when he talked about some of the people he grew up with, there was another gentleman by the name of Charles Ballou. Now, he's, what you would say, a singer. He loves singing. He sings in a group. Old school types of doo-wop kind of music. And I gave him a ticket. He told me he was giving a cabaret. For those of you old now that don't know what a cabaret is, it's when a group of people come together and they bring their own drinks and their own food and they sit at the table and they party. They listen to a DJ, sometimes live band, and they just, you know, it's a big party. And he and they was going to perform there. And so as soon as the circuit was over, then they said, you know, I became, I told him I would help him sell some tickets. And so I did accomplish, get to, you know, we ended up having two tables. Some of the people from the paper was there. Some people from the neighborhood was there. Some people from our social club, the National Black Unity News, and a whole lot. But, you know, we had had a great time. And so I spent a lot of time dealing with that, too. So that was putting it all into the paper time. But I enjoyed myself tremendously because things came full circle. I had the opportunity to see old friends. I got to see my two buddies operate in their environments. The brother really performed. And, of course, the Universal Soul Circle, they are so professional at what they do. You know, I'm just truly amazed how they do all of that. You know, they've been doing it for some time, so they got it kind of down pat. But even though the circus looked like it, you know, so well put together, but I just told you what this brother had to do to keep it. And even though my buddy, who's a singer, he been through a lot of things in life, man. I mean, some serious stuff, you know. But to see that he's still going the course, he's still doing what he's passionate about, you know, both of them things encouraged me this week. And here I am back with what I was saying from the beginning, at the top of me to put the paper together. Now, I usually be a little well in advance, but this is the only time I can recall that I'm just backed up. Now, let me just remind you know, those who know I had a stroke last year, and I came up and put the paper together. Several years ago, I had open heart surgery, and I came out and I put the paper together. You know, I'm talking about, and we never missed a beat putting the paper together. But yet I still find myself trying to carry the load sometimes. See, God was carrying it all the time. And sometimes I get in the way, get in my own way sometimes, even this time around. But this time, it seemed like I'm more backed up than ever before. But somehow I really do believe that things are going to work out, because it always does. But not that I take that for granted, but I had to put in some work. You know, faith without works is dead. So a lot of consider and say waiting on God in this day. But you know, from my world, you have to put in some work. And you know, you give and it shall be given unto you. Now I'm saying this because the thing that I do is about spreading information, sharing information. And sometimes when I look at the task, sometimes it can get daunting sometimes, but then I look at the mission, it's so worthwhile what we do, you know, because we send out positive information and all over this world, and we bless a lot of people. And a lot of people in such a time as these days don't get to see us in a positive light anymore. Because majority of our newspapers have pretty much sold out or being kept by other people. And in the media, you know, they don't show us too, you know, they don't show the highlights of our highlights. They show us the worst of our works. And so that's why the National Black Unity News is so important. So those who are on Facebook, those who are on Blog Talk Live, I encourage you strongly to get a subscription to this publication. I encourage you, if you have a business or service that you know can be a blessing to other people, give me a call. Let's reason together. Let's share that information, because you never know who will be blessed by it and who may end up blessing you as well. It's interactive again. You give and you shall receive. But that's the way we roll with the National Black Unity Team. We have a great group of people who are putting out great information. But when it comes out, help me to help you so that we can help ourselves. Well, at this particular time, there's also a saying to you, you have not because you ask not. And so for those of you who are in my listening area right now, yes, we need all the help we can get. And not only that, but we're here to help you. That's our whole purpose, is to help you. And when we do that, we help ourselves. And we already know at this particular time, nobody, I'm going to say it again, nobody can come back to save us but us. If you keep on waiting around, just like a lot of people waiting on God to do things for you, you will continue to wait, because you have to get up and do something. And so we have to do something. We're doing something, you know, over the last 5 or 6 years, we have put out a lot of information formats, not only through the publication, podcasting, what we're doing right now, and networking and things like that. But, you know, the pandemic just passed and all kinds of things are happening to people, and people have to really change their whole lifestyle sometimes. You know, our way of living has totally changed. And a lot of people are going through so much. And so as I do, I'm ready to shut up. And I know that's hard for people to believe, but I'm ready to shut up, because this podcast on Monday night will be changing its format. You know, we're going to bring people, especially a lot of people from the National Black Unity News, not only speak about what they do, but to share in the conversation about what they do. Like, say, for instance, if you're an educator, you know, we may have several of our members and some invited guests to talk about pretty much experts in their field about that. But, you know, we will still have our panel. We will have our input. And, you know, because, like I say, information is so much needed today. But they need to hear from us, because a lot of the information that we do get has been tainted, has been flipped all over, straight up lied, but again, you know, you have to trust what you trust in, believe what you believe in. But like I said, a lot of people that we intend to bring on here is not to mislead you or to hurt you or harm you. Like I said, we are solution oriented. You know, we try to bring positive solutions to no matter what we talk about. And so, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, again, welcome to the National Black Unity News Podcast. And I want to welcome, we have some pretty new people that came aboard. And we welcome you who's on the panel with us this evening. And those who just joined us with Facebook Live and Blog Talk Radio. Now, I'm going to throw some questions out there, because we like to be interactive as well. And I'm just going to call on some people who's with us this evening. When it comes to us helping us, and I'm talking to be anything from, you know, lending a helping hand, this, that, or you may need some help, or how we can help, how we can lift each other up, because, like I say, it's difficult these days and times when people are going through so much, and people need information. They need some suggestions, And a lot of people on here who've been around the block once or twice had lived at a certain point in life where they can share information with other people. So with that being said, I'm going to call on this brother, because I've been noticing him lately. He's here, there, and he's pretty much everywhere. But, you know, he's a soldier, and he gets involved. You know, he's not one of our just, you know, complain about things, but, you know, he's actually getting involved and designing things to help us. And so, Brother Melvin Henson, I want you to unmute yourself, sir.
There you go.
All right. I appreciate you coming on with us this evening, sir. And look, Mr. Henson, you know, you attend a lot of events that we have, like Black Men Breakfast, you know, and I see you work with a couple of our associates, Brother Milan, that's where I met you at, and you do quite a few other things. You attend some of our other meetings and things like that. And you got some things going too. So how do you yourself, you know, fit in or get in where you can help us to help ourselves? What's some of the things that you do to help us to help ourselves?
I thank you for that question there. So the first thing that I do is I am a rehab consultant by trade. That is my profession. So I've had that business for almost 30 years now. So I have a new business, which I'm working extremely hard to get launched, and that's called Community Builders Coalition. And Community Builders Coalition is a social enterprise. And that particular business is going to be working extremely hard to help our nonprofit organizations. A lot of people have no clue that there is a such thing as a nonprofit starvation cycle. So with that being said, I don't have to go into, you know, which culture is really starving with the grant money. So what Community Builders Coalition plan to do is to incorporate four business practices to support struggling nonprofits. So we are working extremely hard to put the plan together that we can facilitate that in a way that our culture can benefit. So to make a long story short, it's time for us as a culture to lean back away from that grand table and build our own table. It's time for us to start spending our money in our own circle. It's time for us to pay close attention to our youth development programs so that we can be in charge of their growth, you know, their education as far as, you know, especially on the younger level, meaning that we, as Black folks, we do have some of our own homeschooling programs. You know, we can fund our own programs if we spend our money within our own circle. So right now I'm working to finish the business plan. It's like 90% done. In the meanwhile, I'm gathering up allies in order to get them to understand how it works. And it's really simple. You know, the success is in critical mass. Okay. If we spend our money among ourselves and incorporate our own businesses, it just can't fail. Okay, it's not a secret that Black folks are the largest consumers on this earth. Why are we struggling? We're struggling because we spend our money in all the wrong places. We need to become better stewards of our finances. So that's the premier thing that I'm working on right now. And we do have quite a few allies on board already. As soon as it get to a point that we can get a soft opening, then I'll have an opportunity, you know, to come to, you know, Black Unity News and say, hey, look, this is where we at, and we're ready, you know, to put it out there because the website's up, the program's up, and we're ready to go. But it's imperative, you know, that we pay close attention to what's happening to us because, as you said earlier, no one is coming to save us. It's time to save ourselves. So that's where I'm at right now. And yes, I am around the city in a lot of places because that's what I need. I need movers and I need shakers.
That's what I'm going to ask you. You know, you're putting up there how we can help you. And so, and you mentioned something too. You say push back from the table from, you know, getting that grant money. So, you know, could you just elaborate on that a little bit? What do you actually mean by that?
Okay. So if I can just share just a little bit of a data with you. So in the state of Maryland, has 30,000 nonprofits. Mm. Baltimore City has 18,000 nonprofits. Okay. So with that being said, 66% of the nonprofits is operating under $25,000. That's a staggering number there. How do you run a business under $25,000, okay? 77% of the nonprofits are operating under $100,000. So we don't have to, you know, do a lot of algebra and math to figure out what culture is struggling, you know, with the nonprofit money. So the grant money is out there, but apparently we're not getting our fair share. So with that being said, a lot of our youth are struggling because, you know, the nonprofits that they're affiliated with is struggling with the funding. On top of that, a lot of organizations are telling me that the donors are putting them in a pickle. They're doing designed regulations. And that means that they're telling them basic things like, we'll pay for your 30 kids to eat at the cafeteria, but we're not going to pay for your kids to be transported to the cafeteria. So now how do I get my 30 kids to the cafeteria, you know, in order to eat? So it's little things like that that's holding us up, that's in the way. But once again, why are we even putting up with that when we can bring our money full circle? We have the capabilities to do that.
All right, I appreciate that, sir. And you know, great. And so, you know, and Mr. Henson, if you can put your number in the chat room so people can contact you, those who may want to help you, you know, get involved with what you're doing. I appreciate that.
All right.
And I have another soldier on here, Dr. Leroy McKenzie. How you doing, sir?
I'm good. How's everybody this evening?
I'm glad you're good, sir. And here's another brother who's here, there, and everywhere. You know, this brother really gets around. He's involved with a lot of different things. He does a lot of promotion, podcasting. But one of the fields of expertise is books, writing books, helping people with their books. And, you know, I've just picked this subject up this evening, you know, help us to help ourselves, you know, help me to help you so that we can help ourselves. And I know you're well-versed in so many things that, especially when it comes to us helping us. And so one of the things I want to ask you, sir, from your perspective, well, we as a people, I'm talking about black melanated people, how do you think that we should start or even do some things so that we can help ourselves?
Well, I think the first thing that we have to do is realize that we do need the help. A lot of us have this individualistic mindset. You know, you got pockets of this, pockets of that. Everybody kind of stays to themselves or does their own thing. I was in a conversation today, and we were talking about entrepreneurship, and we were talking about a couple of programs, you know, entrepreneurship programs. And one of the guys made the comment that a lot of the programs were doing the same thing. So it's like a lot of us are doing some of the same things, but won't come together collectively to make it run even better. I mean, and this is nothing new. This is what happened back in, you know, during the civil rights era. They had everybody was doing a lot of the same thing, and mm-hmm. you had folks that didn't necessarily want
to
come.
Yeah, I'd like to chime in to help you out with that if I can. I've definitely found that out to be so true. Quite a few organizations have the same, provide the same services, but they refuse to even communicate with each other. And then they allow the much more connected people to come along and then absorb all of the grant money, and then they're out of luck altogether.
Yeah, I mean,
that's so true.
If we could understand that individual, you see, our fingers are individual, but when you ball them into a fist, they become more. It becomes more powerful, and we have to have that mindset that we're fists, not fingers. And when we can understand that, then we understand the leverage that we create, the the movement that we can create, and then the egos have got to be let go. They've got to be let go, because until we let the egos go and say, you know what, we're in this, and I've said this before, I have to keep saying it, we have to have the Nehemiah and the wall being built. Until we say, okay, I can build this part of the wall, I build this next one, says I build this part of the wall. Everybody understands that they build a part of the wall can go up, and we it'll assist us in being able to assist us, you know. But we've got to get over self first. I think that's the biggest thing that we've got to get over. The second thing is we got to understand that everybody's not going to be there. Everybody's not going to want to come with us. I say, you know, you get on board or you get left behind. Those that are willing to do the work, that want to do the work, let's go, you know. But those that don't want to be a part of it, don't want to do the work, aren't willing to do the work, then you just get left behind. And we don't want to hear anything once we do make the progress that we've made and we're accomplishing the things that we want to accomplish, don't come wanting to jump on board then. Like, nah, when we needed you, you didn't step up. You didn't step in. So, I mean, those are two things that I always think about when it comes to us. Is mindset is the beginning of everything. We've got to have the mindset to want to do it, and then we've got to want to we've got to have collectively want to be able to come together, work together. And then the third thing is, hey, it's actually about implementing what it is that we want to do. We say it all the time. Nobody's coming to save us. We've got to really, it is what it is. This is who we got. This is what we know we can get accomplished. This is how we move forward, being strategic about it, understanding, hey, let's move in this direction, let's move in this direction, but having that plan in place to be able to know where it is that we're going to, that we're going, the vision to know where we want to be, where we want to go, and then putting that plan in place so that we can get where it is that we're trying to get to. Because this stuff is serious.
Yes,
I mean, I think everybody saw last week, this is chess, not checkers, when it comes to everything. This is the game, this is chess. These folks are not playing, and we have to have that same mindset. So I'll leave it at that.
Well, I'm going to tell you something. You just hit on some things, but you know, when you were saying that, you know, you had to leave some people out, you know, remind me of Harriet Tubman, you know.
Yes.
You know, when she had to go there, you know, she tried, some didn't want to go. And so you had to leave, you just had to cut them loose, you know, and take those willing people to willing to build that wall. And it's not nothing personal, but you know, we
right.
got to do what we have to do. Go ahead, brother.
No, I was just going to say, you mentioned Harriet Tubman. If for those that saw the movie Harriet, her own sister didn't want to go and stayed. That's how serious it is. And you have to be willing to be able to say, you know what? It may be your own family that you have to leave behind.
Yes,
because they may not believe in you and
mm-hmm.
believe in what you're doing.
Well, you know that old saying, prophet never welcome in his own home sometimes. You know, it falls true on a lot of folks, you know. But, you know, the family is just like, to me personally, is like a larger community. You know, you got some man that you can work with, and you got some man that you had to love from a distance, too. You know, but you still love them, but, you know, it just, you know, everything ain't for everybody. And everybody, like you say, don't have the mindset or the will to build that wall. And so, you know, unfortunately, we at this point in life that, you know, if we look at the larger community, especially here now, you see, and just in the last couple of weeks, two major decisions was made. One was about, you know, gun control. The other was about birth control. And a lot of people upset. But this is the way certain systems are ran. And so, you know, sometimes we can't create the will, but, you know, we can create, like my brother over here, just Mr. Melvin Henson was saying, sometimes we have to create our own system. We have to cut those other systems loose because they're not designed for us. Never was, you know. So we can't keep going back to that little treadmill and going around in a circle and going nowhere. So, you know, We had to have some innovative thinking, you know, action, you know, and I'm so pleased to let people know. See, this is what I'm talking about, not only with this podcast, but the National Black Unity News in general. We have a lot of innovative people with a lot of innovative ideas, and we know if we open our eyes and listen, open our ears and listen, you will find a lot of information on this podcast because people, like I say, have some serious, you know, solution to some of our serious problems. Now, there is a person on here, Vernon Streeter. Could you unmute yourself, sir?
Yes, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How about you, sir?
All right.
I understand you have a guest on tonight with you, right?
Yes, Danielle Harris.
Okay, but first I want to ask you a question that you can introduce your guest to us. And, you know, you and I go a long way back. And Vernon is one of those type people, man, what I call a willing soldier. You know, he'll get in where he fit in, but he has a lot of skills, too. But, you know, this is the type of brother, man, that, you know, like I said, his dedication, man, it's so serious as far as I'm concerned. You know, this brother just step up and down. He don't ask for anything. He just do what he needs to, what needs to be done. And we need people like him. And, but, you know, Vernon.
Yeah,
you know, like I said, you know, we go a long way back, and we see a lot of issues going on, you know, in our communities. And and Vernon also has this thing where he's creating his own TV network. And I just want to, you know, as far as media is concerned, you know, I'm asking people how we can help us to help ourselves. Why did you even decide to do something, take on a task like that when it comes to a TV network, when it comes to us helping ourselves? Why did you do something like that?
When I got back with you a couple of years ago, I was involved with the Informer newspaper, and we crossed paths at Black Men Unifying Black Men with Bill Gooden and seeing you there. And it was good because, you know, I was trying to find you. But then I got involved with the National Black Unity News and came up with, you know, a news program. But then, you know, some of our colleagues go out and protest, and several of our colleagues protest and go on Facebook and YouTube, and we'll get cut off. So I was saying, I had the news program, but two things, I couldn't be in front of the camera and behind the camera. So that was the first thing. Then once I achieved that, then I was saying, well, what platform are we going to use? Are we going to use Facebook to get cut off? So it took me about 4 months. I came up with a solution to create our own platform, you know, where we don't have to worry about getting cut off, you know, sometimes come in and go out, you know, and things like that. So that's how I came up with the concept. So, you know, come July, it'll be 2 years with the station, but, you know, we're still growing, we're still, you know, we're trying to develop a lot of stuff, you know, just looking for content creators, you know. Of course, you have several things that's on air. Baba Jahi, we have his radio broadcast on air on the platform also. So we want to connect with everybody, just take time to even build. I'm working with Cartese, you know, helping him out, you know.
Okay, good.
You know, doing something with that. But, you know, like I was telling my niece, you know, come and join us. You know, you never know who you might meet, you know, that can help you or you help them.
Okay, you want to introduce, I appreciate that, sir. And like I said, it's a powerful format that he has, because that is a great solution for our community. For media, it's such a powerful tool. And for those of you who don't know, speaking about Harriet Tubman, not just that, but anybody all over the world, it's one of the first things someone would do to you if they want to control you or defeat you is cut off your communication and then dictate to you their information, you know, misinformation. And so that's why I often tell you, we don't listen. We're preserving the media. We need every voice we have. You know, I don't care if it's radio, TV, network.
Right.
We need to get in there and start sharing our information. And you want to introduce your guest, sir?
Yes, a young lady. Her name is Danielle Harris. She has a nonprofit corporation, and you know, she can explain to you guys more about what she does.
Okay, fantastic. Danielle, would you like to unmute yourself?
Yes, yeah, sorry, I'm driving. Yes, I'm Danielle Harris, and I have a nonprofit organization educating people on sustainable fashion. A lot of people in the Black and brown community don't know about sustainable fashion because it's not taught in a lot of HBCUs, and that's what we need to know about because fashion is one of the biggest polluters in the world and one of the richest industry, and reason being is because Black and brown people always buying clothes all the time. They make the rich richer and make the self poor, and we stay in the same predicament like we were the year before and so on and so on. So what I'm doing is going to different schools anywhere. Like, well, I started in high schools, but I used to do webinars, which I'm going to give back to. And I used to redesign clothes. So that's how I got my name out there. Now I'm going to high schools and talking about sustainable fashion. So, like, that's what I do. And it's a 501c3 nonprofit. And the struggle with Black nonprofits is real because when I connect with other Black nonprofits, they have the same issue with funding, finding funding, and then when they try to apply for grants and things, it's always a hiccup here and there, and it's hard to find people to stay on the board. I didn't have two sets of board members, and, you know, now I'm back at square one trying to find board members again because a lot of people don't want to volunteer, or they might, you know, expect something out of it volunteering. So, like, I've just been networking and expanding and meeting new people because I need board members, and plus I like to build my connection because I like networking, and I host networking events as well. I am having one July 23rd, and I can drop the link in the comments.
Yes, please do, but I want you to do more than that for me.
Okay.
Now, I'm going to say this openly and honestly. Now, see, you know, I don't know if you sound like you're very young, but, you know, there's an old saying, my steps are ordered. And, you know, and Mr. Murphy is on here with us as well. He's the manager of the National Black Unity Movement. And he knows as well, I've been looking for somebody in the fashion industry. That's one of the areas we are missing in the paper. And
okay.
I would love to, please call me. As soon as you get off this podcast. No, seriously, I need to talk to you.
And
we can help each other. That's what this whole thing was about.
Yeah.
You know, so that's why I was shaking my head, because people know me, you know, I get into it. This little thing about me. And when I hear certain people speak, it's called discernment. I'll leave it like this. I'm gonna leave that alone because I'm getting a little overwhelmed right now.
No, I understand, because I pray for discernment, and I know all about it. You gotta learn how to discern so you can know who you're dealing with. So
right.
Yeah.
Right.
I want to say something real quick before Mr. Melvin. One thing that I like that Danielle did recently was she got a lot of prom dresses, previous used prom dresses, and she connected it with young teens in high school that couldn't afford dresses. She went like everywhere, and she had the event that the young people were just so excited, you know, went to pick, you know, amongst the choices they had, and I thought that was very nice, Danielle.
Yeah, that was a struggle, but I did it.
But that's what, you know, life is a struggle. You know, you got to go through something, you know, to come out on the other side, but, you know, but see, at least she was willing to go through the struggle, you know, and that was such a noble cause. I could imagine them young ladies going out there, you know, you didn't know, you know, like I said, it's a terrible thing not knowing, you know, you want to do something, but you don't have the resources to do them sometimes.
Right.
And here comes somebody like you come along and provide that type of service. And see, you just shared in that chat, whoever person who got that gown and they went to their prom. And they're going to remember that for the rest of their life.
Yeah. One of them got prom,
you know.
Sorry, but one of them got prom queen, and she wore one of the dresses that
I got.
Oh,
wow.
And she got prom queen, and I was like, yes! So, yeah.
All right, Mr. Henson, he chopping at the teeth.
Yeah, I am. I wanted to chime in to make just a couple of quick points. Especially for Dr. McKenzie, one thing I wanted to say in reference to something that you brought up, and that is that I respect these folks. A lot of people are not that interested in building. They're waiting for you to build it, and then once you put the wheels on it, they'll just jump on board. I've learned that, you know, because, you know, I pound the streets every day. So I'm able to, you know, to work with people, talk with them so that I can build the foundation that I really need. Another point that I want to bring up, especially to Ms. Harris, is that we have a lot of resources within our community. But our resources is like our hand, our fingers. They're all spread apart, you know. And as of yet, we've yet to learn how to make that fist that we've already saw earlier in order for us to come together to be a strong group. That is very important because I have been able to meet with a lot of people, and they have the resources. We have the resources. But we just failed to come together in order to make these things happen. And for Mr. Vernon, I met a young lady who is interested in teaching the youth how to be a young journalist. So I thought that was quite interesting because we're getting into the reading and writing aspect of it, and that is so important for our young people, as I don't have to tell you guys how, you know, they're struggling with that. That's very, very important. So so that's all I want to bring to the table. But we are struggling, and we have the resources. It's all here. It's just like a 500 and all the pieces. We just haven't put them together yet.
Well, you know, I believe, this is what I believe, you know, when we have to fill these voids sometimes, you know, I always say, you know, this thing say, you know, people say many are called, but only a few are chosen. But even those who are chosen, only a few of them will go. Because it takes, like this young lady just went through, you know, it takes a step of faith. You know, you have to really believe in what you're doing. Sometimes you have to go alone. And once you build it, yeah, they're going to jump all on it, like you just said. They, you know, they want to claim the victory and everything else. But, you know, we have to get to a point, too. Like Dr. McKenzie just said, it ain't about us sometimes. You know, we have to let go of our thing, too, you know. And if they come, you know, we have to, you know, cause some people do that. Some people photo op. Some people want, you know, the glory, and then some people want that. But the bottom line is build the darn wall, you know. and my man said by any means necessary sometimes, you know, but you have to be careful like who you deal with sometimes. But the mission, you know, we have to stay focused on this mission, you know. And just think, you know, when it comes to we, us black melanated people, you know, we have been through so much. You know, we have been divided, we have been used and abused and have been taught to dislike one another. We have, you know, all of this stuff, we carry a lot of baggage. And it's going to take a lot of us, you know, to overcome a lot of these situations, to undo what has been done to us. And that's a psychological thing and a spiritual thing. But, you know, for somebody, someone, gonna have to stand up and fight everything. Now, I can only use me as an example. But you know, we put the National Black Unity Youth together. We have a variety of people, and it's unique in its own way. But the journey itself, the people we had to deal with, it wasn't easy, and it was a nice thing. But sometimes people show up just for a particular moment. On purpose sometimes, and sometimes we just have to see it that way, you know. And but like I say, as long as we move forward in spite of or despite of what's, you know, certain individuals around us sometimes, we just have to continue to move forward. Because if that's what's in your heart, that's your task. build the wall, you know. So, but in any case, I'm gonna move on. And young lady, get my number from Danielle. Get my number from Vern, and you know, after this thing is over up, I need to talk to you. And but I'm gonna bring on another young lady that has been very busy the last couple of weeks, you know. And Trudy, can you unmute yourself?
I can.
I want you to get in where you fit in, and I know you got some information to how we, us, black folks, can do for ourselves or how we can help each other. What's your suggestion?
You know, I listen to everyone's point, you know, and I made my little notes, and starting with Brother Jahi, he said can. I think, like Brother McKenzie said, it's Nehemiah concept. We're a body. I always say one voice, one sound. We have to have solidarity. I think we fail when we don't want to be transparent. And when it comes down to business, we have to have the right structure. We try to shortcut the process, and I'm sorry, you can't. And then that's a lot of reasons why you can't get the grant money. That's just like they shut down a whole lot of business because you did not file your taxes the previous year. So knowing the laws, knowing which way to go, knowing how to navigate the process is a large reason why we as black, Harriet Tubman would die. Harriet Tubman would die to instead of stopping her progress, because she was committed to grind and she knew that it could happen. We want an easy fix, but this is my suggestion. When we talk about resources, when we talk about stabilization, we need to develop a committee that is their job to find the resource, to bring it to the meetings on a weekly basis, even if it's one idea that you heard at the coffee shop or one thing that you researched on the internet. How to do it, because I'm going to tell you, in my own experience, education is my field, but getting a teaching license is like going to the moon. They make the process so hard, you have to interpret the law. Then you have to know the regulations. Then you have to evaluate yourself. You got to take your own self-assessment. They make it so hard. And what I'm saying to us in building this community and expanding it, we have to know what it takes to get what we want. Can we do it? Yes. Can we subtract our money and put it in our own community? Yes. Stop financing someone else's dream. That's just like home ownership. That's everything. You know, if somebody has the information, share it. Don't hold it back. And that's our Achilles heel. We know something, but we won't tell your brother you're on fire, or don't do that, or hey man, this is the path, but this is what I experienced. Share your stories. Share what you have been through trying to get to where you were going to. And this is why when Mr. Henson said 18,000 nonprofits operating on less than $25,000 a year, it's a travesty. The money is out here. We need to take all of this education, because I'm sure if we added it all together, you probably got about 100 years worth. That's what attorneys do. They got five, he got two. They add it all together when they put on their commercial 50 years of experience, because that's the combination of all the players that are playing in the game. But we need to have a committee that it is their responsibility to bring the information to the table and let us start breaking it down. How do you eat an elephant one bite at a time? What does the word say? My people perish from the lack of knowledge. We don't want to share, and we will never get anywhere if you don't share. And I think subcontracting, even for the nonprofits, even if you don't have that expertise, there are people, like you say, collaboration and players that can come together. You may not be an electrician, but you subcontract to an electrician, you know, so your business can still move forward. And when you profit, everyone else profits. Cut that pie instead of wanting the whole pie. Cut the pie in slices, and then that will help you build momentum. But I think that is all that I have to say. I think the
you
law
are muted.
Business
you can mute or unmute yourself.
Is very
you are unmuted.
Important. We need to know how to interpret it. And if they tell you there are loans and grants out here, we need to seize that. Find out what it takes, because to get a grant is probably 1,000 pages. To get a contract is probably even more to that. To get a nonprofit, you got to have your business structure intact, or, I mean, that's why nobody's going anywhere, but that's my two cents.
Okay, Mr. Henson wants to jump in, but before he does, I just want to say this to you. You know, I'm always a student, and sometimes, you know, I like to listen to certain sermons or lectures about this and about that, but this is a spiritual thing, too. David said, you know, this section was talking about management. You know, it's a biblical principle that, you know, if you don't manage the small things that you have, just the little things that you have access that is yours, if you don't take care of those things, then why do you think the universe or God, anything, is going to expand your territory? If you can't manage the small things that you have now and you're asking for more. So I'm just going to suggest to all of us that, you know, whatever we're working with, try to do the best you can with what you have. And then if you can take care of those things, then just maybe, you know, more doors will open up to you. But take care of what you have. And Mr. Henson, you want to jump in here?
Yes, I just want to say, you know, Miss Williams is spot on. And one of the reasons why it's taken me a length of time, because I want things to be right, you know. So with that being said, you know, even though I run my own business, okay, so every aspect of my new business has someone who specializes in that field. That is very important, because they know where the money is. They know who they need to get the money and how to get the money. Then they need, then they know how, you know, to put the money in the right places. It is very important that you hire somebody who know what they are doing. So important. We have those people. We walk among them every day. And Brother David, that's the reason why you see me at so many meetings, is because I'm looking for that right person, okay? The truth of the matter is that we have all the pieces, as I said earlier, you know, and you do have to pay attention to who you bring in your circle, okay? That is also very important. For example, you know, I have a lot of pastor friends. Okay, but with that being said, only a few of them I'm willing to work with, okay, and that's just my preference. Same thing with mental health. I have a lot of friends who have mental health practices. It's only a few that I'm willing to bring into my personal circle. because I want things to be done the way I want them to be done, because I want it done right. I don't want to have to struggle. I don't want to have to ask questions about, okay, your budget was $1 million. You know, the accountant says that you're falling short. I don't want to have to deal with that. So right now, our budget is $4 million. We're working on how we are distributing that money. And right now, we're looking at four different buckets, okay? Three buckets are nonprofit, and one is for-profit, okay? The for-profit is the money that we're looking to turn over for the next fiscal year. So we're planning this out. We're working it out. And I'm working really, really hard. And all of this, I'm paying for all this out of my pocket, okay? Matter of fact, it's just the only way. Okay, so I'm maxing out, some of my, business assets in order to, because I'm sold out on this. I'm sold out on it, and I'm going to launch this thing, and I'm going to get it right. So, but it's, Ms. Williams, you're spot on. You know, we have the people, we have the money, we have everything we need. We just need to put it together the proper way. So I'm a yield to Dr. McKenzie.
Yeah, brother, I just want to add this, Sister Trudy, you said something that was so key about us working collectively, and the thing that triggers in my head is about, and something that I've been honing in on lately, is the business ecosystem. And the National Black Unity News has a black directory, which should be the hub of our business ecosystem. Whose business ecosystem are you a part of? And then whose ecosystem are you connected to? Because there's no reason why, if you need a plumber, if you need an electrician, if you need someone like what Mr. Melvin does, that you can connect with, there's somebody that is connected to him that says, hey, I have somebody that does this. I know somebody that does that. This weekend, I had a friend of mine, a business associate of mine, she said, do you know someone that does grant writing? I said, let me check. Boom. I knew I had a couple of people that did grant writing. I knew her. I knew she was – I knew both of them, and I knew that they were both good people, like Mr. Melvin said, because you got to check people. You got to vet people and know, because your brand is on the line too. As well, so connecting the right people and in the right place with us, we've got to begin to do that, to have that business ecosystem, so that that money that we have stays within us, but then we also are, at the same time, we're building each of us up. Because if I'm connecting them to you, you're connecting them to somebody else, or somebody's connecting them to me, it becomes this web, as Dr. George Frazier talks about, 1 + 1 = 11. And we begin to build, make this community stronger, because we have everything we need right there within our ecosystem. So I just add that. You were right on point. As Mr. Melvin said, you were right on point with all of that.
Well, and if I could just say one more thing.
Mm-hmm.
I experienced a situation that took me about 2 weeks to find a black business that was close enough to the person to work with them. I had to go through, first of all, I felt uncomfortable because a lot of these businesses are members of black directories or black chambers, but they're not black businesses. So you're right. You try to vet them without asking them, are you white? And so I was put in an uncomfortable position. It took me forever. Once I waded through all this paperwork, looked for all this stuff, found somebody, a white man gave me a black man's connect. I called the connect, and he connected me to another person. When I searched for these people, we as a black person did not answer the call within a reasonable amount of time, never, or either was already out of business. I mean, it was just like put us in such a bad light. And then it's like, how do we patronize us if you're not even available? How does that work out? You know, so that was the hard part, and that was the real experience for me. But know this, National Black Unity News, anything that I can do to help. I do a lot of things, you know. So anywhere that I can help, research, find, you know, and bring my little information to the table, I'm willing to do it.
I'd like to jump in for Brother Dave for Ms. Williams there. You know, when I go to see my clients, and I really mean this, the first thing they say to me is, I don't want no black contractor. That's the first thing they say to me. Okay. And then, you know, I pause for a second and then I say, okay, I understand. However, if you're not going to hire us, who will? Those folks don't hire us. I said, and all I ask you to do is hold him accountable, and I promise you I will help you to hold him accountable, okay? But for some apparent reason, you know, a lot of folks' mind is made up that, you know, that all these other cultures do better work than we do. No, they don't. And here's another grave point that I just want to share with you guys. You know, the white culture charges us 20% more than we charge. Don't you know that my clients, and I'm standing right there, they will not question that white man's costs, but they beat the black man down to his socks. They will beat him down to his socks. Well, can you give me a break on this? Can you give me a break on that? And that bothers me so much. But I don't say anything. I try to stay neutral. But you're right, Ms. Williams. The truth of the matter is, you know, we do not tend our business properly. And you have to call people out sometimes. You have to tell people, you know, when someone's call you, if you don't answer the phone and they leave a message, you need to call them back within 24 hours. You know, you have to, tell people. You do. You have to tell these people. And I have a long contractor list in my 29 and a half years of doing this. And I'm telling you right now, a lot of them guys, I do not refer them to my client base because of that reason right there. You know, because this is all I do. This is my bread. That's my bread and butter. I'm a rehab consultant. That's what I do for a living. And you know what? I take zero chances because I don't have to.
Okay, now, let me just say this. You know, we got some other people that haven't been on yet, but you know, I'm gonna try to get to everybody possible. We running a little out of time, and so who was that great chime in?
That was me, Brother Satara. I just wanted to say,
go ahead, brother.
Yeah, one is the fortune is in the follow up, and yes, we are the other community. They charge a whole lot more than we charge. Like I do taxes, and I do taxes at a discount rate, but that don't mean that they're free. But people always be trying to ask me, well, you give me something else off. I say, when we try to service our people, the service is already usually discounted if you want to be able to, you know, secure business with our folks, because they feel that if it's not cheaper than the other people's, then the service is not no good. So, you know, that's a very valid, very, very, very valid point to, and Pearson tried to tell me that don't overprice yourself, don't price yourself out of the market, and don't underprice yourself. So, you know, you have to try to find just a comfortable balance in terms of finding what price to charge. So what I normally do is I get the prices of all of the different tax agencies and do taxes, and I try to make sure I'm maybe about $15, $20 cheaper than they are, so that way I can quote how much it costs if they go elsewhere, but they'll get the same quality service. But that's important in terms of doing it. And then another thing is that we need to look at, besides grants, how to have a for-profit business fund a non-profit business. And, I mean, I could do a whole show on that. But the thing is that we and I learned that a long time ago when I looked at a situation that happened. It was a non-profit that we was competing for. but they had a $6 million water taxi business in the harbor. And so they used that $6 million water taxi business as collateral on grants that they applied for, because in that way they could apply for matching funds, and they just matched whatever was going to be given to them from their for-profit business. So, you know, that allows you to have leverage, leeway, and be able to do some other things. And that's important to know the world that you operate in and how to leverage yourself so that you can get the most out of what you want to get done. And that's my two cents.
Okay, let me just say this on that, you know, on this conversation, the way it's going. You know, I've been around the block once or twice, and I know the stories about us working with us, us fearing us, and us don't want to do it. You know, we get one strike and we out. But, you know, but we get burned by the large community in so many different ways, and taxes and everything else, lack of services and this, that. We don't too much complain about that. But we'll complain about us, because that's conditionally, that's the mindset that we're in. But I do know this, and I was taught about this by an old Jewish guy a long time ago. See, we have to change our mindset, because he said to me, I was a dishwasher. I was only 15 at the time. Berlin Kosher Catering was called. And he said to me, you know, your people, you know, y'all had so much gifts and talents, but you say, but y'all missed the one valuable principle. He said, it's not about who got the best prices or who can provide the great service. He said, it's the mindset. He said, we as Jewish people, we would go, he said, I can go right next door. He said, there's some people I cannot stand them. He said, he cannot, but he would patronize him before he patronized anybody else, because he know that he's uplifting his culture. The culture oversees those individuals. You know, and if we have that type of mindset that I'm going to find me a black person, you know, I'm going to, you know, and like you said, hold them accountable and everything else. But the purpose is that you're putting food on their table and their children's table and this, that. See, they understand those principles. Not only them, but all the rest of the cultures understand that too. But because our minds is the way, see, we are different from every, see, we have to understand we are different from every other culture, is because we didn't come here the way they came here. You know, they came on free will and stuff. See, we were brought here. You know, we were subjected to a whole lot of stuff that's so inhumane that we have, you know, the underlying PTSD from generation after generation after generation. And we have to, like I said, we have to overcome all of these obstacles. And that's what we're attempting to do now with the National Black Unity News. We have to, we know that the baggage that was heaped upon us, but those things is each one teach one. And if you deal with a black brother or sisters that, you know, that ain't up to par, you got, like you say, you have to hold them accountable, but you have to explain to them the importance of integrity, the importance of providing good services. Not only for your own good, but for your future generation. If you're serious about this business, and like you say, again, like Harriet Tubman, if you're one of those who wants to continue to do bad with this debt, you will be left behind. Just to your own doing. But if you're sincere, and like I say, man, you know, we have to teach each one, man, that we have to do better work, because it's bigger than we are. It's bigger than our own individual. We have to be conscious enough to know that the money that we spend in this country alone, you know, equates to the ninth, black people, I'm talking, equates to the ninth largest country in the world. That's powerful. The money that just the people from the United, black people from the United States alone, the money we spend is equated to the ninth largest. That's power. A lot of power. We are countries way less than it, 25, 35 down the list. They get more respect because they have a culture behind them. They have a principle behind them that we don't have. And so, but like I say, we are learning now, you know, because now we are, like Dr. McKinsey, now we are authoring books now. Now we are teaching one another. We know our downfalls. You know, we know how we've been bamboozled and stuff like that. Before, you know, before mass communication came out there, they had us isolated and now they can do it. But yet that's yesterday. We have to change our culture today so we can have a better tomorrow. But in any case, I want to get you a few more people before we shut down. Shauna, how you doing, young lady? Can you unmute yourself? Okay, how you doing?
I'm all right. I'm all right.
Now, Shauna's up there. I keep getting that city with Cincinnati.
Cleveland.
Cleveland. It's one of them red states that we have to play all the time.
I came in late, though. I missed the lead topic. I missed what the question was, but I've been here.
No. But I'm going to tell you what the question is this, you know, how we can help each other. Now, you know that Shauna is a publisher like myself in Cleveland, and she's going to produce a newspaper there. And she's dealing with a lot of issues up there now that with the Supreme Court stuff and all this other stuff going on, you know, she's going to have to be dealing with a lot of stuff because, like I say, things are happening to us and around us. And if we don't get our act together, you know, don't be surprised that don't be surprised if they start passing legislation. That's what they're trying to forewarn you now. Because if it was left up to certain groups of people, you'll be back down on the plantation. And don't think it ain't far-fetched. You never thought they were going to overthrow the government, but they just, you know, and they're still working on it. But, you know, but again, it's a lot of things that's happening to us. But some things we can control and some things we can't control. And Shauna, because you're a publisher, you know, what's happening in your city is happening in our city. And it's happening all over this country. And, you know, the subject matter was how can we help each other to help ourselves? And so you decided to put out a publication, and I just want to ask you why. Why do you want to do that, you know, in such a time as this, you know, because you are, let me put it this way, we own less than 1% of the media, so you're in a rare position, very rare. So why would you want to take on a task like that?
I wanted to take on the task to basically do to give access to information. I do believe if it ever came to a point where, depending on where you are located right now, the internet is controlled, you know. It's kind of more controlled than we think it is. You have to dig and really have some skills to do research and find different things. But I think that it may come a time where we have limited access to internet. We have limited access to information. And I was a business major in school, and I went kind of all around the world with website development, and I just saw the disconnect between and the reliance on social media for certain information or how people get news and bumping into brick walls, you know, having to connect dots myself where I know where to find it, but somebody doesn't. And the set that is on social media, I just believe that we need central points now that represent our issues and how to navigate in the world that we live in so that we're not dependent on, you know, these outlets like we have been over the years. I also see how news has become entertainment, you know, even my local radio stations. It's a lot more important things that they could be discussing, but they're discussing gossip and entertainment news. I saw the overlay of that. And then I'm kind of nosy in a way, and so when I hear different stories, I'm always, you know, just trying to dig a little deeper to find out how things happen, why they happen, and then how people can avoid that from happening to themselves. So I was inspired to, I guess, just be a resource. I'm always sending links and different things and speaking to people anyway, giving my opinion. And then my client base changed when COVID happened, from doing website development. And so I said, well, let me develop something that could be useful, a website that could be useful, and, you know, share that template with others. But the business model of the newspaper, I think, is the most successful. The Black newspaper has been one of the most successful models that I've researched in business. It has the most longevity. You know, it's contracting work and different things out here, but I just feel like the barriers to entry It's just really my equity and what I put into it. And then it automatically supports others. But one of the primary reasons, too, is because those customers put money into social media or have had a habit of sharing things on social media and then discovering it, it doesn't really market the way you think it markets. I think that was a disservice to a lot of people, business owners that I know. So it's like we need another way to market things, you know, and I enjoy writing and talking about it. And like I said, information be at my fingertips sometimes just to share with people. So that's what inspired me to kind of get back to a fundamental business model that works. If you're going to print a flyer, if you're going to print a business card, it's like you can buy an ad.
That's right. And get it distributed through. All right. Thank you so much for that. And I'm going to move to, you know, you mentioned entertainment. This is the brother, Carl T. Can you unmute yourself, sir? This is the brother, man, that is a conscious brother about how he chooses his body of work and he stands on principles. And he got some things in the, you know, some odds in the fire right now. So, brother, Carl T. Listen, Carl T. Listen, you know, we were just talking about how we can help each other and how we, you know, how we can help ourselves. And so in your industry, entertainment and everything, how do you go about doing that with us and how can we help you and how can we help ourselves from your perspective?
Well, we just have to be open to each other and try not to be judgmental. That stands in the way a lot when people start judging each other when we're all trying to fight for the same thing. And like Brother Vernon Streeter mentioned earlier, he's helping me with something right now as far as my newest film project, because I was trying to find somebody to, you know, edit a trailer for my new film, you know, which I don't have, you know, I don't have a bunch of money right now. So I have to try to get donations and stuff like that to pay editors and stuff. But what he basically told me was, he said, don't worry about that right now. He said, get me when you make it big or whatever. Get me back then, right? So he's helped me put this trailer together right now, and I really appreciate that. I'm also trying to get the whole film put together hopefully as soon as possible because it's going to be on a brand new Black-owned streaming service called Stream DMV, which was started by a brother I know who's also in the arts, an actor and a writer, director, and everything. And Stream DMV basically focuses on the film works and so forth of, you know, Black artists from this area, from the DMV area. Everything I do is about us. I write for us, about us. I don't use my writing to try to appease any other people, any other race. My writing is about trying to get us to think, to be thought-provoking, and also to get us to come together as a people and to love one another. That's my focus when I write a script. It's about trying to bring us together as a people. My newest film called We Brothers is about six Black men from different backgrounds. Three of them come from this country, born in the States. One is born in the UK, one was born in Africa and Ghana, and another one was born in the Caribbean, but they have a close friendship. They basically all been in the state for a while, but they have a close friendship, and two of the brothers are heterosexual brothers. Two of the brothers are what I call famed and the loving. I don't use the term gay, and one of them is bisexual, but they don't let that get in the way of their brotherhood or their friendship. And this film also highlights positive Black relationships between Black men and Black women. Like the two heterosexual characters are both in strong, loving marriages with Black women. Black women who you can clearly see are Black women, not women who may look white or whatever, but they look Black, you can tell they're Black. And it also shows a relationship between two Black men in this film, but there's nothing stereotypical about this film at all. It's all about uplifting Black love and Black brotherhood and Black friendship and black relationships between black men and black women and so forth. That's what my focus is. My film before that, which was called The Eternal Extra, the message in that film is for black people to realize the power that we have in ourselves and to stop giving our power away to the so-called mainstream or the so-called powers that be, and to focus on ourselves. And that film won a couple of awards in a film festival out of Brooklyn, New York, called the Strong Chance Film Festival. And that's also going to be on Stream DMV starting in August as well. So what I do with my artistry, I don't use my artistry just for myself. It's about our people. And like I said, to bring us together. So all I know to say is we just have to be open to each other and be willing to work with each other. And when somebody lifts somebody else up, we should be willing to pay it forward when we do get in a better place. So.
Okay, sir, I appreciate that.
And also,
go ahead, yes,
I have a black theater company. I don't have my own building yet, of course. It's a long name, but I'll give you the short version. It's Royal Hues, as in the different hues of our complexion, Melanin Manor. And we haven't done any productions over the past 2 years because of the pandemic. We do have our first live production coming up July 30th and 31st, which is a play, an original play about Otis Redding. And it will be at 1121 West Lambeau Street, which is the hall at Metropolitan United Methodist Church. That's where it'll be. The tickets are $25. We're trying to sell our book performances because we need to. And we're also trying to have a live band and not play tracks. So, of course, we have to be able to pay musicians and all that, too. So we need people to support this production and everything. And I did put the ticket link in the chat as well. So. If you
want
to
know so I'm definitely planning on being there, but, you know, if I'm still around or so, you know, I hope to be there, man. I ain't planning on going nowhere. But, you know, so we need to support him and the theater and entertainment. We spend, like you said, we spend billions and billions of dollars on entertainment. We need to start taking that money and redirect it to our own, you know. So I appreciate you, brother. Now, before we shut this thing down, we got Mr. Walter Murphy on here, Dr. Pender, and we haven't heard from Brother High Key is on here. And who else? I missed somebody else on here. But if y'all gentlemen want to, you know, get in this conversation with Brother Rico Crowley as well.
Real quick.
Yes, sir.
David, first of all, hello, everyone. This is Walter Eugene Dempsey Murphy, and I am so glad to see all you wonderful individuals on this call this afternoon. And on top of all of that, the topic is really kind of amazing about black unity and the things that all of you guys are doing come from all these different perspectives, but at the same time, all trying to hone in on the black experience being a whole lot better than it has been in the past. Well, one of the things that I hear all you guys saying is about, you know, the difference in money and relationships and this and that, but all of that is so true. Everything that you guys have been laying on the table today has been worthy of consuming. One of the things I also want to add, though, is like a little salt and a little pepper on top of it, okay? And that is, individually, if you're not straight, you're a problem. Say this again. Individually, if you are not good to yourself and on the path of the things that make you happy, you got a problem. If you're not going down the path that has been given to you or that's in the back of your head or the thing that's driving you forward, you got a problem. You're going to wind up being in a position to whereas a place called unhappiness. And if you're unhappy, guess what? You can't get what you don't have, and that is joy. That's the whole purpose of being here, ladies and gentlemen, just to find joy in life. That's the reason why you do what you do, because it gives you some sort of satisfaction. I will say this again. You guys are amazing at what you do. Keep doing what you're doing. And the only thing I want to add to this is that, you know, this National Black Unity News and especially its directory is a hub for all of what you guys are trying to accomplish. It's not the fix, it's not the cure, no, but it is a mechanism by which you can have what you're trying to do expanded, exposed, and your territory will be in a better position. And that's pretty much all I want to add to it, is that, you know, we can find a way to get our youth and our adults to like themselves just a little bit better. And you do a whole lot better for yourself. I guarantee you have a whole lot of space and a whole lot more room and a whole lot more joy that you be able to give. Back to you, David.
Yeah, you know, Mr. Merkel, on that same note, before we bring Dr. Pender and everybody else in, you know, my brother and I, we had a conversation about this early. And I was saying that over the years, I'm blessed with this gift called discernment, and I was always a good listener to, you know, and people used to, well, the old school said they used to cry on my shoulders if I could, you know, I wouldn't spill the beans, I wouldn't tell, you know, whatever the conversation was about. But unfortunately, I lost so many people, you know, I used to be around people 10 years old, 20 years older than me, and they would cry on my shoulder. They would tell me why they did, you know, why they just went to work every day and they took care of their family. But they wanted to do this thing. They wanted to do this thing. But because life got in the way, they decided to just go work, and they was miserable. The majority of their life, someone was an alcoholic, someone was on drugs, someone just gave in, and they died that way. And that's why I'm so passionate, especially passionate about people like yourselves, because, see, y'all have a vision. You have a mission in life. You know why you're here. And the first thing God would tell you to do, the first thing he told man to do, was to work. And they don't mean like physically go to work, but like that, he's talking about nurturing your gifts and your talent, and your talents will make a way for you. And so, you know, just dig a little deeper, man. Find out who you are or what you do, why you want to do your thing, what your passion is. And that's a hint to what, you know, what your gifts are. But in any case, Dr. Pender. Brother Hockey, y'all want to share anything before we shut down?
Yeah, got a few words. Blessings on everyone on the broadcast tonight. I just got one little word to say, and thank everybody for the input. At the age of 76, I can say this. What does the Lord require of you guys? Well, he said to do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with that God. You guys have a great evening.
Amen. Amen. Brother Hockey. I know Haki is at this convention or someplace he's at. I know you said he's going to the scene. Brother Haki, you want to share anything?
Yes, yes. Hold on. Let me second here. Let me get on the camera here, brother. All right. Good afternoon. Good. Can't see me much, but let's see here.
Yeah,
like,
there you go.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, yes. Good afternoon. Good evening, brothers and sisters. So it's great to be on here. We've been moving and shaking a little bit. For those who may know, I'll be quick. Haki Ami, it's election time coming up, so I'm out and about. But, you know, for what it's worth, you know, engaging in political processes and, you know, organizing on different levels. But recently we just did a 10-city civil rights, freedom rides tour throughout the South. We had like 31 young people, mostly from the YMCA. They were one of our sponsors. So that was amazing. A 7-day tour. So that was one thing that recently was pretty major. We took the Black Unity newspaper with us and, you know, shared it with some of the young people that were on a bus with us. And so I'm excited about what, you know, the next edition, as well as still getting this edition, you know, out. It's the end of the month. We still have a few. So I'm, you know, really, you know, strategically placing them with influencers and people that really are interested in it, you know. So, and let me just say that there are people that just truly value the diversity that's in the paper, you know, so people really admire and respect it. So definitely continue to, you know, share this movement, and I'm happy to be a part.
All right, thank you. And Brother Haki and Sister Kim Poole, man, like I say, they've been on tours, and I've been watching some of the footage, man. It is so deep. You can get a chance, go to his page. Powerful stuff. And we have another gentleman, he's not on, but Joe Young. You know, speaking of newspaper, you know, the National Newspaper Association just had their convention, so to speak. And he was down there trying to get the other black publications to promote his product, Kemet, his comic books and stuff like that. But, you know, me and Joe talked earlier today. You know, even though he tried to get all the other publications to promote him, but see, the National Black Unity News had already stepped up to the plate. We were one of the first ones who put his stuff in our publication. And so, you know, and now, you know, he's expanding his territory. But see, you know, it's not to the swift, but those who endure. It's just that the National Black Unity News is making impacts all over the place. And before we go, Brother Rico, do you want to share anything, sir?
And if no, I just want to say good evening, everyone. Peace and blessings. Great job.
What I'm going to share for him. Brother Rico it runs an organization called God Given Hands. And, you know, they help those who need a little help. And we all need a little help now, especially seeing it through the pandemic. But this brother been out there for some time now on the front line, helping those who need help. And again, you know, it's a saying, charity begins at home. TV station, we got actors, we got all of this stuff, you know, where we can redirect our income to uplift our own. Because like I said, we got everything we need. And see, that's the purpose, ladies and gentlemen, of the National Black Unity News. See, we bring people like yourselves on here. Different, like I said, diversity of people doing great and wonderful things. People have purpose in life. People on a mission. And my two cents or my input is this. Yes, the National Black Unity just does need help. We need help to help us, to help you so that we can help ourselves. And that's what our mission is all about. And we're going to continue this mission. But we do need every man, woman, and child on deck. This is a serious thing we're taking on. Because so many things that we had talked about earlier has been tainted, has been abused, has been, especially our media. And if you want to keep it real, this is a real publication with real people, and we're not kept by anybody. We are not, nobody can dictate how we're going to do this and how we're going to do that. So we are extremely rare in how we operate. But this is a collaboration. It takes everybody's effort to make this publication. I don't run this publication. It's you all, each one of you who have impact. Not even if you're not in the public, even on this podcast, we are making a difference because you never know who's watching, who's listening, who that you may give some words of encouragement to or some ideas to. And so media is a powerful, powerful tool, ladies and gentlemen. And tomorrow night, we will be on our podcast tomorrow, and this is more business-wise with the National Black Unity News. And so we appreciate everybody who has their input this evening on this podcast, because without you, none of this wouldn't be possible. This is teamwork, and this does make the dream work, and we are making a difference in people's lives. We are sending out information that can enhance people's quality of life. Yes, we're doing a lot of great and wonderful things, but in order for us to continue to do this, we need to support this publication as well. We need help, too. You know, either you get in where you fit in, but, you know, we appreciate all we can do. But like I said, you know, we ready to open some new doors. We're ready to expand our own territory. And we are moving into a phase now where you will be impacted in a lot of ways, not monetary. You're going to be impacted. Notoriety, some of you may gain some fame and some of you may gain some fortune. But, you know, I just want to remind you of, you know, that this is a mission. It's divine inspired. And no one person that will ever stop this publication, not even David Murphy. And so, you know, I appreciate each and every one of you. But, you know, we do need your impact. We need your impact for this show. We need your impact tomorrow night. We need your impact in the National Black. We need your impact in the Directory podcasting and everything else. because it does take their entire team. Your information is so vital. Every last one of you, you know, I know most of you on it, y'all are so vital to what we're doing. You too, Mr. Henson, I know you're coming on board. I know you are. But, you know what y'all are doing is so major, you know, and I don't know why, how, you know, like I say, God has brought all this together. But like you say, those fingers that y'all were talking about now, see, this paper is like a fish now. And it's different because we ain't doing no backbiting. If you want to come on board. You know, we ain't worried about those who fell behind the wayside. You know, the door is still open to them. But we are not stopping. We are not waiting. We're going to set the captives free, those who are willing to go. We're going to work with those who are willing to work. And so I thank you again, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to bid you all a good night. And young lady Danielle, call me in a few minutes if you can. I would truly appreciate it. All righty. So I'm going to say good night to you all. And God bless each and every one of you. And y'all take care.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, all.
Good night. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Thank you.
With Fundrise, you can invest here, from there, or there, from here.
There's no such thing as a good or bad memory. There is no such thing as a good or bad memory.